Welcome into the J.P. Shadrick Podcast. I'm J.P. Shadrick. Today is Friday, December 16th. And here's a look around the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. It's been a while. Good to be back with you. Three games to go for the Jaguars, all in the AFC South. That starts this week against the Houston Texans down at NRG Stadium, one of the toughest places to play in the league when they're rolling. And they are. They're in first place. We'll get to that game coming up. And with the holiday season near, it's also a busy time around the community for the Jaguars. We'll get some perspective on both football and community efforts today from Jaguars left tackle Kelvin Beachum, who also shares a little about the balance of family life with football life. A real interesting conversation with the Jags left tackle coming up. Let's start today with the Jaguars looking for a way to finish out the 2016 season strong. Three AFC South games remain, including this week's game in Houston against those first-place 7-6 Texans. Next week, it's a Christmas Eve home game against the Tennessee Titans, who also have a 7-6 record. And then a New Year's Day game in Indianapolis against the Colts. They're on the outside looking in at the playoffs for the moment. Three games against three teams that need wins. It's a tough task for this Jaguars team. It's a group trying to figure out some fixes of their own at the end of this season. Last week, after taking a 16-12 lead into the fourth quarter, special teams blunders, combined with an inability to get off the field on defense and a pair of three and outs by the offense, produced a 13-point fourth quarter for the Vikings en route to a 25-16 win over the Jags. There were some positives from that game, though. Blake Bortles had his third-best rating day of the season. Wide receiver Marquise Lee had his second 100-yard game of the season and had some really nice catches in the process. And the defense produced two goal line stands, including a fumble recovery in the end zone, the eighth takeaway of the season. But there were negatives, too, of course. 14 penalties for 114 yards, including a delay of game before a kickoff. Later, a partially blocked punt, a blocked field goal, a long kickoff return allowed. 14 missed tackles in the game, too. Three and outs on offense in moments where you absolutely cannot have them on the offensive side of the ball. All that combined for the losing effort last week. All the Jaguars can do is work to correct it and move forward. Now, looking forward, way forward to next season, the NFL announced the 2017 London game schedule earlier this week. The 2017 International Series begins with the Ravens at the Jaguars at Wembley or the Saints at the Dolphins at Wembley. Those games will either be week 3 or week 4. They'll alternate. They'll figure out the exact week and time in conjunction with the full 2017 NFL schedule announcement. That's coming up in April, usually right before the NFL draft. This will be the Jaguars' fifth game in London. They have a 2-2 record there and now back-to-back wins. And for the Ravens, it's their first ever trip to the United Kingdom. The two other games in the International Series will be played at Twickenham Stadium, week 7 and 8. The Vikings at the Browns, and then the Cardinals at the Rams. And they'll figure out which game is on which date coming up as well. Four games in London. That is half a home schedule. And if it continues to sell out like it has in the past, then expect further expansion of the International Series over the years to come. The game is growing in the UK also, and according to an NFL press release, participation in amateur football in the UK has risen by approximately 15% per year since 2007, and 40,000 people age 14 or older play football regularly. And American football is now officially recognized as a sport in UK universities and schools. That's a good sign for the future of football fans, people playing football, and people buying football tickets and watching football games in the UK. And finally, construction of Daly's Place continues in the south end of Everbank Field. Steel is going up. It's really cool to actually see progress there. The end of May opening date is still intact, and when it's done, it will change the entertainment landscape for downtown Jacksonville forever. Our guest this week on the J.P. Shadrick Podcast is Jaguars left tackle Kelvin Beachum. What's up, man? How are you?
What's going on, man? Good to have me. Well, not to have me, but good to be here again.
I mean, he's very humble, too, apparently. Kelvin Beachum with us. Good to have you in here, man. We appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
We're going to talk all kind of things today. We've got football to talk about. We've got off-the-field things to discuss.
Perfect.
We've got robots and drones to get to. I know you're excited about all this.
Hey, I'm excited, man. I'm blessed. I get to play football for a living and the hobby of my dreams and get to provide for my family, so I'm a blessed man.
Let's start with the football side then. You came out of the game for a moment last week. How is the knee? I know everybody knows you're still coming back from the surgery last year. Mm-hmm. The process continues, I'm sure.
Correct. The process continues. It's an ongoing process, day to day, week to week. One of those type of things where you just have to get back to somewhat of a baseline, and then you know, it's taken out of you during the game. So that was the first play that I missed all year. Should have found a way to get up faster and get back in there. But you know, it's football. You know, you take a lick and you keep on ticking.
It's not just your effort to get ready to play every week. There's a lot of people that help you out in this process, mm-hmm. too. And in that training room, mm-hmm. those guys are invaluable to what you guys do.
They are invaluable. You know, I'm actually working on Christmas presents, some really nice Christmas presents for those guys. Robbie, who's a physical therapist, has done a magnificent job finding a way to just keep me on the field, keep me feeling good. Because if you feel good, you play good, you know. He's done a wonderful job. JB, every morning at about 6:45, is doing some hands-on work with me. Rod and Tyler and Joel and Scott kind of overseeing everything. And Milo and his strength staff, Sid and Alex and Jess. You know, all those guys have really just contributed. It's been a whole team effort to do everything that they can to put me in the best position to be able to play on Sundays.
You're here at 6:45 in the morning. Is that every day
no,
of the week?
No. That's what time I start treatment. Oh. I usually walk in the building at about 5:15, 5:20 in the morning. I usually get in the hot tub. I do contrast for about 30 minutes from about 5:30 to about a little before 6, and then start my treatment process, go in the weight room, knock out some things from about 6 to 6:45, and then I actually start the treatment process. So this it's a whole science behind this thing before I even get to the treatment room to start things. I go to sleep super early. You know, I'm usually turning the lights off and everything is going calming down about 8 o'clock, and I'm usually asleep by 8:30. So I have no family in town. My wife is still.
That's okay. That helps.
My wife is still traveling back and forth from Pittsburgh, finishing up school, and she has my daughter. So that's been a blessing in disguise. At the same time, it's been a little different not being around my family. So it's all, you know, played a part in finding ways to be the best that I can be on Sundays.
Kelvin Beecham is with us. Speaking of the family, I'm sure you talk every day to the family.
We talk,
right?
Every day. FaceTime. Yep,
yeah.
Exactly, man. I don't see how people did it back in the day. You know, but FaceTime every day, and I'm lucky to have two phones. So one phone is on the charger, and one phone is for the night. So I usually have the phone on, and that phone stays on all night. So if the baby wakes up, you know, I hear the baby as well, or hear my daughter as well.
Oh, so the phone is on, like
phone
connected.
Is on. Yeah, so
all
the phone,
night.
Like, yeah, connect. Not FaceTime all night, but we get off FaceTime and we get on the regular phone.
So the phone is just on. The
phone is just on.
So a phone call.
Phone call. Correct.
Wow.
So every night, you know, usually on the phone, my wife hears me snoring, hears me go to sleep.
I was about to say, that's cause enough to hang up on you right there, the snoring, right?
And then, you know, early in the morning, you know, tell her, hey, I'm going to get ready to leave, cut the phone off, and, you know, she usually texts me when she wakes up. And, you know, we try to find every possible way just to stay in communication, stay connected, because it's different. You know, we're going on 4 years of marriage, and, you know, pretty much this year we had, you know, this season, you know, we spend maybe 6 hours with each other when she comes in, because she comes in on Friday night. You know, Friday night is the most important night for the game on Sunday. You got to make sure you get some sleep. So I'm usually in the bed early. Saturday, you know, if it's a home game, you know, we're in the building until about 12, and then we have to be back at the hotel at 7. So about 6 to 8 hours, and then right when the game is over, Sunday, you know, we have 1 o'clock games. Once the game is over, I take her right to the airport. So I'm only getting about 8 to 8 hours, you know, with my family when they come in, you know, for home games. And, you know, they've only been here for about they missed the last two home games. So every home game up until then, they've been in. So, you know, it's one of those things. We just got to find a way to be connected as often as we can, and blessed to be able to text and FaceTime and send pictures and, you know, send jokes and be on the phone all night. So we found ways to make it work.
How long does that have to last? I mean, how much school does she have left until
she just finished, she took her last final this past Monday, which is great. So school is officially over with. She has one more test to take, which is the HESI test, and she takes that on January the 10th. Currently, they're in Dallas getting ready to come to the home game. Well, not the home game, but the game in Houston.
Yep.
Not too far from my hometown. So she's coming down, getting everything ready for the family to come down to Houston. So she's done, you know, just getting things ready. And then next week she'll be up here, you know, getting ready for Christmas.
Kelvin Beecham is with us from Mejia, Texas. Yes, did sir. I say it right?
Mejia.
Mejia.
Yes, sir.
My Spanish is not fantastic. So how often have you played in Houston? With Pittsburgh, you might not have played them much, right?
So I played them 2 years ago. We played them on Monday night, if I'm not mistaken, in Pittsburgh. But I've never played in Houston. I played there in college, played there a lot in college.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. With SMU and played University of Houston and Rice, but haven't actually played in that stadium and played against the Texans. So it's going to be an exciting time. I've heard it can get a little loud there, so I'm looking forward to being there.
Challenging for an offensive line. Road game, loud, right?
I mean, I love those types of games, man. I love loud games where you get to hush the crowd up and you know, we got to find a way to get a win out of there. You know, we got to win at Chicago, and Silas and that crowd is great, and it would be nice to do the same thing against the Texans.
Kelvin Beecham with us now. The holiday season is here, and I see you all over social media, Instagram, Twitter, a little Facebook mixed in probably, yeah, of you helping out the Jacksonville community. And it's good to see. It's the team put some stuff out, but you're out a lot on your own outside of team-related foundation functions. Correct. I mean, you go out and help all the time. Why and how did you start, and especially with the hunger situation here?
Well, why is because, you know, I was blessed as a child to have people invest in me in so many different ways, whether it was hunger-related, whether it was coaches, whether it was people taking time out to feed me. You know, I got off to college, and you know how when you go off to college, you don't have much money. And I was a full time scholarship athlete.
Yeah.
But I still have people that help me. You know, people know I love to eat, so they took care of me. why I do it here is you know, this is the community that I'm now entrenched in. You know, hopefully the Jaguars bring me back. We'll find out after the year is over. But, you know, I've been blessed to have a great platform, and what better way than to be able to give back to people who are less fortunate. And not less fortunate, but find ways to just help people in general. So, you know, the Jacks put on some things, but, you know, I take time to go and volunteer at the food bank here in Jacksonville, and it's a number of pantries that are in need around town, and find ways to go do that. Actually, went to Tiger Academy Tuesday and threw a little pizza party for some of the kids there. So I just find ways to just invest in people because I was, you know, people invested in me as a young person.
When you're at the pantry, though, what do you do?
I work.
Moving food around?
Usually when I go to the food bank, they have me, I've done assorting damaged goods, so taking the bad goods and separating those from the good ones. I've done you know, separated bad meat, so meat that is of use, we'll find a way to use that. Separated vegetables, and that can be a little stinky. You know, last time I was there, we had to separate squash and zucchini and onions. Some of that squash, when it gets nasty, it can get real nasty, yeah, and watery. You know,
sure.
So it's a watery,
yeah,
vegetable.
Sure.
You know, bagged potatoes. You know, anything that they ask me to do, that's what I go there and do. So I actually go there and volunteer, just like any other person. You know, I'm just a person that plays for the hometown team that they see there helping out. So it's a big help for them. And for me, it's just really raising awareness, funds for people who need it around town. You know, you think about Jacksonville. Jacksonville is a huge city, covers a lot of ground. Mm-hmm. So to be able to help people who really need it in different parts of the city, these food deserts, people who are food insecure, those things are some things that I really take to heart and try to find a way to be a part of the solution.
Part of your giving back is each year in your hometown you have a football clinic. We've talked about this before.
Correct.
But a math and science clinic too, which is a little out of the norm, I think.
So it's a STEM camp, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. It's a STEM camp. Usually it's about 3 days. And we provide,
where does this come from? Why did you think of this?
Why did I think of this, man? You know, I always take everything that I do, it goes all the way back to my childhood. Yeah. My grandfather's been blind for 80 plus years. He could pull a transmission. He can work on anybody's car to this day.
Really?
My dad had to drop out of school in eighth grade to work with my grandfather to help provide for the family. He was one of 10. He was the oldest of 10. So my dad has been working on cars all his life. So I was entrenched in that type of lifestyle, that hands-on type of working with your hands, you know, the mechanical engineering that goes into working on cars, the math,
yeah,
that goes into,
yeah,
it. So I was entrenched in that from just a childhood type of thing. I went off to college, got a degree in economics, the math again, the theory behind, you know, certain math. So kind of still stuck with me. Had still had the bug. But when I got to the league, I just got exposed to a number of things that were just. I turned into a big kid with toys. You know, you think about the drones and robots and artificial intelligence, how you're able to play with a number of things. And it just took it to another level. And then I started to see, you know, as you think about the careers that are associated with these disciplines, I didn't see a lot of African-Americans represented. So wanted to find a way to do something to get more African-American males and females down that pipeline to be able to be, you know, people that can be positive contributors to the global economy. Because it's not – we as players, we don't just play for America. You got people in – we got fans in Australia. You've got fans in London. Yes. You got fans in Mexico. And why not make sure that African-American kids have the STEM background to be able to be positive contributors to the global economy? They may be working here in Jacksonville, but, you know, on a conference call with somebody from Japan. You know, you never know. So just want to make sure that they have the same opportunities and the same access and exposure that people from other parts of the country have.
You mentioned drones, Kelvin. How many drones do you own?
Own zero. That's the best way to do it.
Really?
Yes. I play with other people's toys. That means I have to give it back.
And they can get expensive too, right?
They can get expensive. Very expensive. So I play with a lot of other people's drones. That mean, you know, it's almost like, you know how the people that that have kids and, you know, and grandparents are like, man, I love having grandkids. I can take them for a little bit, but I can give them back. Well, that's the same thing that I feel about drones, man. I can play with drones. I can turn around and give them back or rent them out. Play with them for a little while. The thing is, it's hard during season. It's really hard during season. Yep. Just to do anything outside of play football, be a family man, you know, do the community work that I do. You just don't have other time. Take care of your body, eating, the whole nine, the whole gamut. So that is a task. And you know, if I'm going to play with it, I'm going to really play with it. So I don't own any, but I do play with them quite often.
I saw the other day Amazon is starting to deliver. They made their first delivery via drone, which is bizarre to me. It was this Back to the Future movie or something.
It's crazy, man. You know, I think Facebook was also playing with doing some things with drones, you know, trying to provide cellular service. So, I mean, it's all types of things. You think about drones, you think about artificial intelligence, all these things are playing. Or you think about virtual reality. You know, think about Oculus and all these different things that are starting. I think they had.
Was that the thing with the headset on the phone thing?
I think they was talking about something with the Jags. They did something this past weekend with virtual reality, you know, here at the stadium. I mean, it's all types of stuff, you know. So it's just a very innovative and new piece of technology that people are starting to use that, you know, it's either you get on board with it or, you know, you kind of get left behind in the dark ages. You know, it's just like cell phones. My grandmother and grandfather never know how to operate a cell phone. But, you know, that's, you know, I could give my daughter a cell phone and I say, hey, babe, you know, Kalina, answer the phone for daddy. And
how old is she?
She's two.
Right.
And she knows how to push the green button to answer. She knows how to slide it. You know, to answer, she know how to push the red button to end the call.
She'll soon know how to text boys, too. Get ready.
You know, that's why she won't have a phone until she's in high school.
just her dad's phone. I see.
I find a way to pick her up.
That's funny how that works.
I know, right?
Elvin Beecham is with us. A couple minutes here left. So you mentioned during all this talk, if the Jaguars have you back next year. That's the big question, right? I mean, it was a kind of a one-year, see how you do, and then – a lot of money left on the table after that. You want to be back, right? This is a place you want to be?
Anybody does. I mean, this is the best case scenario, you know. And then you also have to consider the worst case scenario. You never know how things play out in the National Football League. You don't know what's going on, what's going to happen after the season. I mean, that's just business. All you can do is control what you can control. And right now, all I control is being there to show up on Sunday and find a way to make sure that Blake stays upright.
And that's been pretty successful this year for this offensive line. Now, just a lot of people have kind of talked about this offense a little bit, but the O-line as a whole has kept Blake upright this year, and that's job number one for an offensive line.
Correct. Job number one is to keep him upright. Job number two – well, actually, job number one is to run the ball.
Ah.
Job number two is to keep him upright, because if you're able to run the ball efficiently, you're able to throw the ball and be able to put people in – uncompromising positions to put, you know, Blake in a position to stand back there, hold the ball, and be able to find the right receiver off of play action. So we've had games where we've been somewhat successful. and running the ball, and then we've had other games where we haven't been as successful. So we know that that's still a trend that we still have to continue to correct. But, you know, if you look at the statistics, we're right there in the mix with a number of teams running the ball well and right there in the mix with making sure that our quarterback stays upright with sacks allowed. So we still have a ways to go. We're not satisfied with where we're at right now. But, you know, I came in here to do a job, and still got three games to go to try to complete that job.
Let's get it done this week against the Houston Texans. Hey, how about
Who better to get it done than the AFC South champions, reigning champs too, correct?
Yeah, division leaders division now, too. They control their own destiny. So let's go wreck it.
Exactly. Beat the spoiler. There's nothing wrong with that.
Good to see you, Kelvin. Yes, I appreciate your time, man.
Yes, sir. Anytime.
Our thanks to Kelvin Beecham for his time this week. And as always, a special thanks to Jaguars manager of radio, Joe Fortunato. The Jaguars and the Texans coming up Sunday at NRG Stadium. Jaguars Radio Network coverage begins at 10 o'clock Sunday with a Publix tailgate show. Countdown to kickoff on the network starts at noon. This is J.P. Shadrick. Thank you for listening to the J.P. Shadrick Podcast.